It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is a beautiful, beautiful Friday, April the 14th, 2023. Let's turn this up. All right, there we go. We have Mix back. I uninstalled and reinstalled, fiddled with it earlier today. And I think it's working. You guys seem to be hearing me, so that works. It is 1900 UTC. Just clicked over to 1901 UTC. Happy to see everybody in comm, including Ratsu and Exiled. Of course, see you later, Jot Lake in Quinton. Good to see you, and Bite Me 8827. And everybody else that's hanging around, Tove and the whole crew, Jazzmaz, SMJ, all the cool SDF folks. I'm always glad to give you a shout out and say hi. If you didn't notice, or if I didn't mention it, I don't know if I mentioned it, but my mix is working again, or at least I've got mix installed. I don't have all the sound effects back, but you know what? What's very important is that I have some of them. Those of you who haven't listened to the show or weren't around, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so when I started having trouble with mix on the Linux box, I used to have all sorts of sound effects. So watch out.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
So we're going to get there. So anyway, there's lots of news and fun to be had today. There's also plenty of water to be drunk out of aluminum cans, because that was a live opening of a can right there next to the microphone, because it's Friday. So hopefully we'll have a good time. So let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right, world news time. So, four people have starved to death in Kenya while fasting to meet Jesus. That's right, happy Holy Day. Four people were, on Thursday, found dead and nearly a dozen others hospitalized in Kenya's coastal Kilifi County after being rescued while waiting the imminent end of the world. The victims, who are believed to be members of Pastor Paul McKenzie's Good News International Church, say they had been told to fast to avoid apocalyptic damnation. The authorities said they rescued 11 people, six of them were emaciated and in critical condition. Police said they will resume a search for more members of the group on Friday morning, following reports that others were still in the forest. The police also found a mass shallow grave at Shakahola Forest in Lingobaya, Malindi. The police were unable to conduct any further activity at the mass grave because of the hostile residents in the forest, believed to be the suspect's followers, part of the report read. The self-styled spiritual leader, who was once a controversial televangelist, has been on the detective's radar for allegedly preaching a dangerous doctrine that encourages his followers to starve themselves to death in order to reach heaven faster. So there you go, Exiled. Yep. They are trying to meet Jesus faster by starving themselves to death. When the police visited the area on Thursday evening of April 13th, they rescued the victims from his vast farm, but he was not arrested. The pastor is currently out on police bail after he was charged last month over the death of two children whose parents are among his followers. So, yes, putting the pedal on the metal while Jesus takes the wheel. Kind of scary stuff there. And in Spain, surprising turn here, a Spanish extreme athlete has emerged from a cave after spending 500 days with no human contact in what could be a world record. When Beatriz Flamini entered the cave in Granada, Russia had not invaded Ukraine, and the world was still in the grip of the COVID pandemic. Oh man, could you imagine? Ugh, this pandemic's never going to end. I'm just going to go live in a cave. And then when you think, okay, I guess I'll come out, it's like, oh, the pandemic's over, but Russia's destroying, is causing a bunch of turmoil. It was part of an experiment closely monitored by scientists. I'm still stuck on November 21st, 2021. I don't know anything about the world, she said after exiting the cave. She's 50 years old and entered the cage at 48. That's the way math works. She spent her time in the 70-meter-deep cave exercising, drawing, and knitting woolly hats. She got through 60 books and 1,000 liters of water. She was monitored by a group of psychologists, researchers, speleologists, specialists in the studies of caves, but none of the experts made contact with her. Footage on the Spanish TVE station showed her climbing out of the cave, grinning before hugging her team. Speaking shortly afterwards, she described her experience as excellent and unbeatable. "I've been silent for a year and a half, not talking to anyone but myself," she said. Man, this sounds almost like a great time. I almost would like to do this. "I've been silent for a year and a half, not talking to anyone but myself," she said, while reporters pressed her for more details. "I lose my balance. That's why I'm being held. If you allow me to take a shower, I haven't touched water for a year and a half. I'll see you in a little while. Is that okay with you?" She sounds like someone that hasn't talked to people in a while. Ms. Flamini later told reporters she lost track of time after about 2 months. "There was a moment when I had to stop counting the days," she said, adding that she thought she'd been in the cave for between 160 and 170 days. One of the toughest moments came when there was an invasion of flies inside the cave, leaving her covered, she said. Oof. Oh. Do we have... Where is it? I bet you we do. Aw, shucks, I guess not. I was looking for the uh-oh sound, but alas, we don't have it, at least not yet. I will get it back, don't you worry. Let's keep on moving. She probably didn't smell that great. But she's been awarded the longest time survived trapped underground. Was given the Guinness record world of records hasn't announced if they're going to give it to her or not. The Bolivian miners spent 69 days underground after their copper gold mine collapsed in Chile. Hey, X1. X1 has joined from the lobby. Okay, I thought you left to the lobby, and I was like, oh no, we've upset him. Anyway, so that's what's going on in Spain. In China, Lula and Xi pledged to boost ties in a Beijing meeting, kind of showing the world that, you know, while the West is important to the people in the West, the rest of the world still have their lives to lead, too. Presidents of Brazil and China have pledged to bolster cooperation between their two countries as Lula and Xi Jinping held widely anticipated talks. The meeting on Friday in Beijing came on the second day of Lula's visit to China, the South American nation's most important trading partner. Hello. Their talks focused largely on trade ties and other forms of cooperation, but also touched on the conflict in Ukraine, with the leaders agreeing on the need for a negotiated settlement. As comprehensive strategic partners, China and Brazil share extensive common interests, Xi said. Adding to the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, China sees the relationship as a high priority on its diplomatic agenda. Lula took office at the beginning of the year and has been seeking to reset relationships with allies, many of which were tested under his far-right predecessor, Jair Bolsonaro. He also has sought to reassert the country's role in international diplomacy. people drinking their chlorinated water. In a tweet on Friday, the Brazilian president said he had signed agreements with China on renewable energy, agribusiness, information technology, health and infrastructure, among other sectors. Oh, what is this? This says GMD3. Oh. That is a modem dialing, so we won't listen to that. Uh-oh. There we go. So, anyway, they signed some agreements, and it's looking good for Brazil and China, at least for their relationship. Meanwhile, in France, the age increase from 62 to 64... Excuse me, exiled. Hardware handshake, mofo. France's top constitutional body has cleared the Macron government's highly unpopular move to raise the state pension age from 62 to 64. The Constitutional Council also rejected calls for a referendum by political opponents. 12 days of protests have been held against the reform since January. In March, the government used a special constitutional power to force the reforms through without a vote. Authorities had banned demonstrations in front of the Constitutional Council's building until Saturday morning, but crowds had gathered nearby and the ruling was met with jeers. Some demonstrators chanted they would continue protesting until the changes were withdrawn. So yeah, that's what's going on there. People are still mad. People are still protesting. Among the reforms struck down by the members of the council was a so-called senior index aimed at urging companies with more than 1,000 workers to take on employees over 55. Lucy, age 21, was among the protesters gathered outside the city hall and told the BBC she was disappointed. "We don't have the power anymore. Nobody is listening to us no matter how hard we are shouting," she added, vowing to keep on speaking out. So, let's say Raphael, also 21, said she'd hoped there would be something in the council's ruling that would reflect the huge consensus there's been on the streets against the reforms. So, yeah, in general, the protesters are a bit sad about that. Hey, Quentin, welcome, welcome. It's all good. You know, we are back with Mix. So, got sound talent, sound effects, and we're gonna have all sorts of stuff. So it should, that would be pretty good to have a modem sound play when you join. You'd probably do that. That'd be pretty good. You do it in your SSH config file. Ugh, my gosh.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh, man, I haven't heard you in real life in a long time. I thought it was just in the back of my head. Yeah, let's get through a couple news stories so we can play a song. So let's talk about cool stuff or things that are not necessarily death and destruction. First, Japan has approved plans to open its first casino. Japanese officials have approved controversial plans to build the country's first gambling resort. The complex will open in the western city of Osaka in 2029. Great, because you know what? The United States has already kind of destroyed that city, so why not? Casinos have long been illegal in Japan, but a law was passed in 2018 providing exceptions to games such as poker or baccarat to create jobs and boost tourism. Public opinion has been split, with some concerned about a rise in crime and gambling addiction. Besides the casino, the 5.3 million square foot facility, which is 49 hectares, complex will include a hotel, conference center, shopping mall, and a museum. Hey, LCD. Oh, well, goodbye, LCD. Thanks for being around while you were. I don't think they said pachinko part. They didn't mention pachinko, but, oh, man, if I could play Mahjong at one of those really cool tables that Tobes... Have you seen those really cool auto-shuffling tables? Oh, man. Now I just need people to play Mahjong with. We hope the casino will become a tourism base that promotes Japan's charms to the world, according to Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. The project has an initial investment of 1.8 trillion yen, which is $13.5 billion U.S. or 10.7 billion pounds, with U.S.-based casino proprietor MGM, that's Mike Golf Mike, and Japan's Oryx Group, each owning a 40% stake in the company. The other 20% will be owned by local companies such as Western Japan Rail, Kansai Electric Power, and Osaka-based Panasonic. So we'll see what happens, but pretty exciting. It's a first time for everything. And speaking of firsts, there are two other stories that I want to tell you about, and then we'll play a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Minneapolis OK's Dawn Muslim Prayer Call. So this is great. Minneapolis is one of the big cities where a lot of migrants relocate to, which is kind of strange to outsiders because Minneapolis is kind of in the middle of the country and it's very cold there a lot of the time. But anyway, Minneapolis has a large Muslim population. Minneapolis will allow broadcasts of the Muslim call to prayer at all hours, becoming the first major U.S. city to allow the announcement, or adhan, to be heard over speakers 5 times a day, year-round. The Minneapolis City Council unanimously agreed Thursday to amend the city's noise ordinance, which had prevented dawn and late evening calls at certain times of the year due to noise restrictions, the Minneapolis Star Tribune reported. The vote came during the holy month of Ramadan, which we're currently in, which is fantastic. "The Constitution doesn't sleep at night," said Jaylene Hussein, executive director of the Minnesota chapter of the Council of American Islamic Relations. He said the action in Minneapolis shows the world that a nation founded on freedom of religion makes good on its promise. So this will be very cool. As I was talking about, Minneapolis has a flourishing population of East African migrants since at least the 1990s, and mosques are common. 3 of 13 members of the council are Muslim. The decision drew no organized community opposition, according to the mayor, and the mayor is expected to sign the measure next week. And I personally think it would be very cool to be in a place where you were exposed to other religions and cultures and stuff like that. And Calm is reminding me, today is the 665th show, so Monday's show will be unholy. So it will probably be different kind of news than I normally do, just to reflect that it's the 666th show, so you might want to tune in for that. All right, here's the story before we play a song. Are you ready for this? Dairy farm explosion kills 18,000 cows. That's right. 18,000 cows. Approximately 18,000 cows were killed in a blast at a Texas dairy farm. The explosion at South Fork Dairy near the town of Dimmitt also left one person in critical condition. Authorities believe the machinery in the facility may have ignited methane gas. Near 3 million farm animals die in fires across the U.S. between 2018 and 2021. Castro County Sheriff's Office said they'd received a report of a fire at the farm at about 1921 on Monday. Photos posted by the sheriff's office show a huge plume of black smoke rising from the ground. It's a pretty big fire. So let's see. There's some that survived, he's quoted as saying. There's some that are probably injured to the point where they'll have to be destroyed. Investigators believe the fire might have started with a machine referred to as a honey badger, which he described as a vacuum that sucks the manure and water out. Probably got overheated, and probably the methane and things like that ignited and spread out and exploded, he said. So, yeah, 18,000 cows up in smoke. Let me see here. Let's put a link here in Calm. Oops, wrong letter. There we go. Boop-boop. There we go. This is a WebP image, so you might not be able to see it if you're not using a browser to look at it. Cow smoke. All right, if you want to see the cow smoke, all you got to do is go to sdf.org/l/PE. That's sdf.org/Lima/Papa Echo, all lowercase, sdf.org/l/PE. But yeah, Exiled called it, summarized it perfectly. The shit sucker broke. And yeah, pretty sad existence for the cows. Kind of how that goes, I guess. Let's go ahead here and jump to... Hey. Oh. My music is missing because it's a different hard drive. Let's try it this way. Nope. Let's go here. Here. Come on.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
You know what I can do, I bet? Let's go to this finder. Oh, because it's not called iTunes anymore. It's called Music. Here we go. Now we go here. Let's see if we can do this. I'm still with you. We're trying. And click here. Let's see. Can I see? Show. Ah, crap. I don't think I'm going to be able to play the music. It's, it is not, cooperating. Let's see. I can't do audio hijack like I normally do to play from Spotify. Let's see. Can we do... Do do do. Down, down, down. All right. Well, here's an acid trance song from an October 24th Creative Commons Valence Electron show song. It's Creative Commons, but that's all I know about it. Let's see what it sounds like. Acid. Juicy. those glow sticks out. Drink, drink that Kool-Aid. Why are my pants so big? Drink your Kool-Aid. There's no mushrooms.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Man, you always feel a little crunchy after a good acid trance session. So we couldn't find any music, so we had to make our own. That was acid trance with me being silly. And acid trance, this song, is from the Silverman Sound Studios. So thank you to them. All right, well, let's get into it. We've got just a few more minutes, so let's talk about tech news and all that cool stuff that's going on. So first, Kenya, the country in Africa, tried to launch or is planning to launch a satellite. Those anticipating the launch of Kenya's first operational Earth observation satellite are going to have to wait a little bit longer. Satellite Taifa 1 was supposed to take off from the California, USA on Friday, but exploration technology company SpaceX canceled the exercise 28 seconds into flight. The launch is scheduled on Saturday now. Friday's cancellation marked the third failed attempt to launch the satellite. The bad weather, which caused the delay, hasn't deterred engineers on site. They took the news philosophically. Engineers, what's happening with the weather? What type of weather is this? We're sorry, it's a very delicate process, and a lot of money's been invested on different pilots, so it's not good to risk it. Taifa's payload is an optical camera capable of imaging in five multispectral bands, with ground sampling distance of 32 meters, and the panchromatic band with a GSD of 16 meters. I don't know what that really helps us know, but that's what's going on there. Pretty cool stuff for Kenya there. The JUICY mission, or the JUICE mission, the European Space Agency, has blasted off. which is very cool, if you ask me. Europe's mission to the icy moons of Jupiter has blasted away from Earth. The JUICE satellite was sent skyward on an Ariane 5 rocket from the Kourou spaceport in French Guiana. There was joy, relief, and lots of hugs when the watching scientists, officials, and the VIPs... It's a second time lucky for the European Space Agency project after yesterday's attempt was stood down because of the weather. JUICE called home shortly after coming off the top of the Ariane. A key milestone was confirmation the satellite's enormous solar array system also deployed correctly, all 90 square meters of it. So we have a mission. We're flying to Jupiter. We go fully loaded with questions. JUICE is coming, Jupiter. Get ready for it. The agency's director general, Dr. Joseph Aschbacher, also expressed his pride that the 1.6 billion euro mission was safely on its way. Exiled points out, JUICE on an Ariane rocket? I'm not entirely sure, but sounds good. Okay. Boeing 737, more terrestrial here. Oh no! Yeah, that's right, the JUICE is loose! They let loose, the JUICE is loose! Oh no! Oh, so much fun. Boeing shares have tumbled more than 6% after the U.S. plane maker disclosed a manufacturing issue affecting its 737 MAX planes. The aviation giant said a supplier had revealed that the installation of fittings on the rear of the plane didn't follow the standard. Boeing said the problem was not an immediate safety issue, but it warned it could lead to delivery delays. We regret the impact that this issue will have on affected customers or in contact with them concerning their delivery schedule. They've been under intense scrutiny since two accidents in 2018 and 2019 involving those planes killed 346 people. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but at least it's a partner this time that's having trouble and not just their total negligent screw-up. So, I've got two nuclear stories, and I think we've got just enough time to get them out. Some 75 to 100 times more doses of next-generation alpha-targeted therapy treatments will be available annually worldwide compared with today through a project to produce isotopes from legacy nuclear material at the U.S. Department of Energy's Oak Ridge National Laboratory, the project partners say. Since 2003, Isotech has been responsible for safely and securely overseeing the inventory of uranium-233 and preparing its removal from ORNL. That's Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Since then, employees have transferred and dispositioned about half the inventory. The remaining requires processing and downblending prior to disposal. Isotech Systems, TerraPower, and the DOE entered a public-private partnership. And through that, they're extracting the rare medical isotope thorium-229 for TerraPower isotopes to advance promising cancer research. So, pretty cool there. And World Nuclear News also has an article called A Guide, The End of Germany's Nuclear Power. This week sees the end of an era as Germany's long journey away from generating power from nuclear takes place with the closure of its last three operating reactors, which is kind of a sad thing for fans of nuclear like me. The last three operating nuclear power reactors in Germany are being permanently shut down on April 15th. Isar 2, Emsland, and Neckarwestheim 2, all pressurized water reactors, had been due to end their lives by the end of last year, but are allowed an extension for the winter following energy concerns. So, started in 1960s and 70s, Germany was for many years a world leader in nuclear energy. Chernobyl happened in the 80s and 90s. 1998, the Social Democratic Party and the Green Party started working on trying to phase out nuclear power. And yeah, kind of went on there. So anyway, you can check it out if you'd like at worldnuclearnews.com.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.